Hey, 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 this is NFL Hall of Famer Ray Lewis. I'm excited to announce the launch of my new podcast, Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast. I'll be talking with friends, family members, old teammates, athletes, celebrities, moguls, and guess what? I'll be talking to you. Listen, this is all in the search for everyday greatness. So I'm asking you to come along with me on this ride. Download new episodes of Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast, every Friday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on podcastone.com. It's not what you have, it's what's inside of you that actually inspires greatness.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
The evil bitch that is coronavirus may still be raging outside, but Corolla Drinks is hard at work with another month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes a Beard Bro beard-shaping tool to tame that unruly corona facial hair, and a Chew face mask so you can silently protest how f***ing stupid all of this is, a 6-foot premium beer bong by beerbong.com, so you can slug back a few cold, endless rants when the world officially opens up again. And, of course, a bottle of your choice. We know times are tough, but we at Corolla Drinks are here to remind you to take a breath, have a drink, and wait for all this shit to be over. Mahalo.
Well, I know we thrill our listeners with our in-depth analysis of the Love Boat app. Mm-hmm. I know that. I can speak on behalf of everyone listening that nothing is more interesting or fascinating than our Love Boat sessions.
And a dive into what's going on in Chicago. Yeah. And Drew, I've always known about the Love Boat. You finally got yourself schooled, educated.
You convinced me of the importance historically, and now I'm studying hard.
Thank you. First, Tommy John, find the perfect Father's Day gift. It can be stressful, so you need to make it easy. And how about the new and improved underwear, twice as durable as the current pair they have, which I wear, which are great. They have lounge pants, lazy day joggers. This stuff is good. It's so good. The lounge stuff. Have you worn the lounge stuff?
No.
Just
no
the one. Underwear? Mm. And the t-shirts? You're an idiot, man.
I have a t-shirt. Yeah.
The t-shirts are the best.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say the best. The lounge stuff is exquisitely soft. Like, remember the old weird pajamas where you button them up and they're roll around in them, they're fireproof and stuff like that? Yeah. Now, actually, the kid from the Love Boat, the special needs kids, was wearing the weird old blue pajamas
that we remember from our
childhood. That not anymore. They got a Father's Day deal over here. 25% off site-wide, including gift sets. You can order from your phone direct to dad's door. Do it before June 17th. Ensure arrival by Father's Day. It's Tommy John. It's the best. Right, Matt?
Tommy John has the perfect gift for all the dads in your life. Deliver comfort to dad's door with 25% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/ADS. That's TommyJohn.com/ADS for 25% off site-wide. See site for details.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Let's get on with a mandate. You need to get it on. Wheezy. All right. So thank you for tuning in and helping out our sponsors, NetSuite.com, TommyJohn.com, LifeLock.com. Got to talk about the Love Boat, Drew.
Oh, we got to.
I've been watching, man.
They're only like once a week now, though, right?
They're not feeding me
the way I'd like to be fed.
Whatever my habit for Love Boat is, it's not being fed.
We got to find it somewhere. We got to see where we can find a compilation somewhere, like an Amazon or something.
I marvel at many aspects of the Love Boat, and everyone should watch it. especially during this crazy time, to just realize that's where we were in the 70s and the 80s. These were the shows, you know what I mean?
And it really does weirdly take you back.
You know what I mean?
It weirdly, whoosh, things are like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, man. They had some great ones. So they had Phyllis Diller.
Saw it as an IRS agent.
And it's like she's auditing Captain Steuben. It's like, well, and he's like saying to her, like, well, I'm sorry, Miss IRS agent. I have to sail, so we'll have to do this audit when I get back in port. She's like, I bought a ticket. I'm going to audit you from my stateroom.
And mind you, what, 30, 40 million people watched that show, and they all went, I'm buying that.
The auditor came on board. And then spent her entire day in Captain Steubing's office, like crunching numbers,
looking at his ledger. It looked like something like that a monk would keep records
in. He's looking at the ledger,
right?
And now, look, I don't know all the rules regarding audits, but say when the captain goes to sea, or like if you audited, Drew, I'm going to ask, hey. Gary, man, I want your honest opinion on this. And because I don't know, because I'm asking. And don't laugh, because there are no stupid questions. But when you audit an airline pilot, can you be in the cockpit? Or does that take place in a different plane? Or maybe even a different building? I don't know.
Well, I know
you
that.
Fly, because in the Love Boat, when you audit the captain, you're in his suite. You're literally in the captain's office. Now, I don't know if she went up to the bridge or the engine room.
I have unique insight into this. My father's an auditor.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, okay. So does he fly with these guys? Or is he?
He goes on the ship with the surgeon. Like he goes into the operating room.
If someone's
room
a crane operator, yeah. Would he be up in the crane with them? Or would he be able to do his job on the ground?
No, I think he'd be in one of those little portable offices that's sort of down on the ground away from the crane. I don't think he needs to be physically.
He's got to be on site.
Yeah.
But has not, to be.
Oh, well, so you see those like construction trailers.
Yeah. Those gray trailers.
Okay, that makes sense now.
Yeah.
So in the airplane captain, he would be at the airport?
Maybe he could be at corporate headquarters, but I don't think he'd be
TWA.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be in the plane.
Right.
I just don't think there'd be enough space.
But the pilot would have to be in the plane, but on the ground at the airport that he's at.
And mind you, she wasn't auditing the ship's financial situation. She was auditing the captain's personal finances.
From his office.
Yeah, on the ship.
Because that's how it works. So if I ever get audited, the person will be in the studio.
Here.
Yeah. Or maybe on stage with me doing stand-up.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what part of my life they're on.
Sitting shotgun in a race car?
Oh, yeah.
I don't get paid to do that, so.
Yeah, but you spend a lot of money on those cars.
And time.
I do try to write some of that off.
She just goes where you are.
Yeah. Well, that's what I learned. Mm. So then she audits from his office, and she's very dogged and she's going to dot every I and cross every T. And, of course, Captain Steubing's a nervous mess the entire trip, which is what you're looking for emotionally out of the captain, right?
Really scared.
Sweating bullets the whole time. And then at a certain point, she comes on to him sexually.
Gets a little drunk.
Right. And then at another point, she thinks they're having an affair.
Yes, because she was drunk blackout and thought something happened.
And then at
which, by the way, I love that part. Like, I was blacked out. Of course you raped me. I mean, that was her. Of course. Yeah, I know. You say nothing happened. Thank you for protecting me. But I was blacked out. So you necessarily – I mean, let's be fair.
Simpler times, Drew.
Oh, my God.
And then – at some point I just marvel at the physical writing of the show. At some point, she announces from his office as she closes the giant leather-bound ledger, which is the size of something the Franklin Mint would offer.
The Gutenberg Bible was about the size.
She goes, this is a true American. Yeah. I have never seen more spotless records in my life. And then she goes, now, time for a drink. I don't know. It's like noon. Maybe she's an alcoholic. She blacked out two nights before.
That's true.
Anyway, she goes, now time for a drink. And she goes to the liquor cabinet, which is locked up.
She had to find a key.
takes
which
the key,
found magically,
unlocks their liquor cabinet, opens the liquor cabinet, pulls out a bottle, and the thing I've always talked to you guys about, which I've said I marveled from that time, which was, I've said, when I watch Bewitched, when I watch Bewitched now, she's summoning Dr. Bombay, and she's moving her nose and manipulating time and space and everything else, but the and I buy all of it. The only thing I don't buy is every time Darren came home from work, he'd walk right to the rolling. They had the cart bar. He'd just go right there and go, oh, Sam, I had a tough day. And he'd open the ice bucket and be brimming with ice.
Which is the weirdest. What the hell? This is the Phyllis Diller piece.
You guys are married, right? Is there any world where there's a full, like Lynette, you're in charge of a fresh ice bucket. Like, I come home at very different times, but when I walk through that door, I want no melted ice. I don't want a pool of water at the bottom of the thing. I don't want half bucket ice. I want brimming with ice. When I walk through that door, I'm going right for that bucket, bitch.
And by the way, back then, they didn't have ice makers, really. That was
no,
the new
she
thing.
Was. Oh, she was cubing
the trays. Yeah.
She was doing that aluminum tray of the pulling thing with the handle on it.
Yes.
So Phyllis Diller opens the liquor cabinet and goes, "Well, I'm going to celebrate." And she pulls out a bottle and then she reaches for the ice bucket.
Right. This is a locked closet. One's been in 2 days.
Locked closet. The captain's office at 2 p.m. What?
Right.
What are the chances there's ice in it? Then she pulls that out, and I don't know what's going on, but proceeds to pull out handfuls of $1 bills.
I saw that.
I was watching.
I noticed it was $1 bills, too.
And then I'm like, so what is there, $44 and change in there? Yes. And then she's like, aha! This is where he's
been. He's a criminal!
And then she ran out and started screaming at him about being a criminal. And then they're doing the situation where she's screaming at him that he's going to jail for a long, long time. And then there's that.
Wait. But now he has switched from I'm afraid of her to how dare you? I'm perfectly spotless. There's nothing that was out of line.
Right.
And he went from scared to confident.
Yeah.
Freaked me out.
And then And then there's a knock on the door. And then at some point, somebody comes around, a crew member, and they want to know they're going to take the collection now for the money they raise for the father who's on dialysis or whatever. And blah, blah, blah. And it's like she looks at him and goes, I owe you an apology.
I misjudge you.
That money was for something else. So by the way, there's many different things. It was $2,000 allegedly in the bucket. She was pulling out wads of $1 bills. Yeah. I don't know how they got to 2,000. I don't know why they didn't stuff it with $100 bills or $20 bills.
Because of the writing, man.
That same episode had the Down syndrome kid in it.
That wasn't even Down. I don't know what that was.
I kept thinking about you. I was like, I hope Drew sees this episode because I'm like, I have no idea what the affliction,
Essentially a kid with a stutter. That's essentially what it was, or with halting speech. That was it.
But it was like a 9-year-old kid who was like, mommy, pretty.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, Billy. Yeah. But he looked like he just got off a Ziffy board in Malibu. Like it's so perfect because he was fit and tan and good looking and had long hair and everything. But he'd go like ice cream, and they'd all like look at him, delicious. And they all go, I sound like Trump. And they'd all just go, oh, Billy,
new word,
Billy.
Very good. He's been working so hard at it.
I kept thinking, God, I hope Drew.
Oh, I was jumping out of my skin.
Yeah, it's called a disability online, and then they have to courageously – it's a very special love boat where they have to courageously face subjects like good-looking tan blonde kids with disabilities, although I don't – still unclear.
Well, don't worry. Dr.
Stubing. Bricker.
Dr. Bricker was still making his way around the chicks on this episode.
The great Dr. Bricker like on the prowl.
Yes.
Is awesome. Just even in the background, they'll just show him, like they'll be talking to the kids or Gopher's parents or something. You'll see Bricker in the background just holding a chick's hand with two hands, like a 22-year-old chick in an evening gown going, it's like, oh, he's scoring, man. He's working it.
Ugh.
Openly The ship's doctor is openly trying to fuck passengers on the trip. Well, they're highlighting it. They're glorifying
it. But glorifying it, if they're anxious, he gives them pills and then rapes them. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. You wonder why we had poor boundaries growing up in the 70s, right?
They also had a storyline going, which was Lyle Waggoner,
yeah.
Not Wagner, as I learned when I took a deep dive on him. Good-looking guy.
Yeah.
And he's cruising on the ship, and his ex-girlfriend is just engaged, and just married, and now taking her honeymoon thing. And his thing is I'm going to just follow this couple around and try to fuck my ex-girlfriend in front of the new husband.
Yes,
I'm going to cuckold his ass.
That was his whole thing.
And it was like, First off, I don't know what he was doing on the trip. They never really explained it.
No.
He was the biggest douche in the world. And it was a bunch of stuff where they do these things where, like, it's a whole episode of him, like, showing up going, I miss you. Hey, how's Monkey Nipples doing? And the husband's going, who's that? Oh, that's our old nickname. Forgot to tell you. Yeah, that's what I used to call her. And blah, blah, blah. And then at a certain point, the husband, they're sitting at the table at on the Lido Lounge, and they're all dressed up and they're cocktailing.
Which is the other extraordinary thing. And everyone in tuxedos.
And the husband goes, I'm going to get us a couple of fabulous Isaac's, made drinks. And he gets up and walks out. And then, of course, the lech old boyfriend jumps in. Hey, how about old times? Come on, one dance.
So
one
it's yanking on her.
One, it's
so
yanking
it's
her.
Pulling her.
Like, one dance. And she's like, oh, God, no, I don't want to do it. He said, come on, just once, for old times. And she goes, okay, fine. And she goes, dances in. And then they show the guy walking back from the bar holding the two drinks. Like,
I can't believe it.
Cindy, what are you doing? Yeah. And it's like, she's not doing the math on the... The guy didn't go parasailing in Puerto Vallarta. The guy went to the bar. The bar's 12 feet away. He's going to get his drink. He's going to turn around.
Right.
He's going to see us on the dance floor having a slow dance. You don't... Maybe it wasn't the right call, the dance. It was crazy, right?
It's a particular episode that had me beside myself. So I'm glad you brought it up. There were many, many, many aspects of it. And it's so funny with us. We were watching the intro, who's in the show this week? And it had four cast members. And I said, the crew's in this one. This is going to be all about the crew involved with the cast. That's what's happening. I guarantee you. Lo and behold.
They had the melodrama of Ethel Merman and Gopher's husband.
Your wife. It's mom.
Gopher's mom.
Gopher's.
And Gopher's dad. They never saw eye to eye. A very, very special
episode. Gopher's mom, he felt left out.
The dad felt left out.
Because the Gopher and his mom had such a special relationship. And she had to, in a adjacent episode, two parts of that episode. She has to sing. She has to sing for Annie, Get Your Gun, and explain that's her favorite. That's her favorite musical.
That's not another part of that episode. That's her. He just calling her at home.
Right.
Come on, Drew.
You're right. That's true.
You guys have to watch The Love Boat. That was the number one show on TV
for years.
All right. Let me tell you about Oracle NetSuite. America's ready to get back to work. Of course, ready to get back to work. You want to win in the new economy? You need every advantage. Smart companies run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. With NetSuite, you have visibility and control over financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more, all in one place. Whether you're doing millions or hundreds of millions in sales, you need NetSuite. Manage every penny. Give you the agility to compete with anyone, work from anywhere, even your phone. Join the 20,000 plus companies who trust NetSuite, right, Matt?
NetSuite surveyed hundreds of business leaders and assembled a playbook of the top strategies they're using as America reopens for business. Receive your free guide, 7 actions businesses need to take now, and schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/ADS. Get your free guide and schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/ADS. One more time, netsuite.com/ADS.
All right, let's talk to Peter from West Side of Chicago, 33. Peter?
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on?
Yeah. Sorry. I just, you know, I don't know. I've tried calling the mayor. I've tried tweeting at her, and I just don't know what else to do. So I thought, you know, I'd try to reach out to you guys and talk about what happened, not last weekend, but the weekend before, and how it's almost like everybody on the mainstream media, as well as in our public officials, are seeing two different things going on. And I think it, you know, it kind of hits home on why certain communities feel marginalized by these leaders that, you know, are seemingly completely Democrat, left, right, everything else. But it's been a surreal, you know, 2 weeks here. And, you know,
what went on 2 weeks ago? Hey, Gary, if you talk to Max Zapata, I had a Lori Lightfoot thing where she was talking about all the things she's enacted to save everyone in her community. I thought it was kind of funny. Not a lot of parenting talk.
That's why I am calling in. You know, I'm sure it's kind of getting outside of Chicago now, but you know, this was news about 6 days ago here in the city. But one of the aldermen he represents the South and the West Sides, his district, and he was on the phone and he was talking about, you know, how it looks like a literal war zone, how he's worried about his constituents not being able to go to grocery stores or pharmacies because everything's been literally destroyed. And he's got gangbangers walking around with AK-47s threatening to shoot anybody that comes onto their turf because there was no police response and no, you know, National Guard response because for some reason the mayor and the governor here in Illinois decided to go toe-to-toe with Trump on this and make everything political. And she literally just tried to, you know, he asked what the solution was and what the city was going to do about it. And she literally tried to graze over, you know, his question and go to the next alderman. And he said, wait, no, I want an answer. And he demanded it. And so she finally says, well, to be honest, I think you're 100% full of shit. And really? So on the call, he says, well, then fuck you with all due respect. And, wow. You know, basically she's just talking about how he's living in hyperbole and how that is not true, how the city didn't botch this. But you know, I live on the West Side. I heard, you know, gunshots Monday and Tuesday nights, you know, literally every 30 seconds to a minute.
All right. Hold on. Hold on, Peter.
Yeah.
First off.
Yeah.
I always hear South Side of Chicago, but maybe that's, you know, maybe that's a bad Leroy Brown, you know,
yeah,
Jim Croce song. Is what is in terms of Chicago? So I always try to figure this out so you can help us. I hear.
Absolutely.
All right. So I was picturing myself in Chicago. I have a lot of fans in Chicago. I play Park West in Chicago. I go to Chicago.
Yeah.
I walk from Park West sometimes back into town or whatever. I stay downtown and everything's hunky-dory, and then I turn on the news and I hear about new record set and deaths, gun violence in Chicago, and I think I keep hearing Chicago, obviously, but it's obviously not the Chicago I'm living in when I go there to play a show or go out for a steak. So is it the West Side? Is it the South Side still? Where is it?
Yeah, so the downtown area that you're talking about, that's the Loop. That's where the Chicago Theater is, right? Or the, you know, the river and stuff
like that. Right.
And that was the first thing. That was the first area to get hit on Saturday from the riots.
Right, but so, where, you know, when we talk about all the crime and the gunshots.
Yeah, yeah.
Where is that?
Yes. So so the Loop is zero. Think of that in terms of the streets. Mm-hmm. It really starts getting rough around, I don't know, depending on where you're at, on the lake, you know, 55th Street all the way down to 105th Street or so.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge pocket of, you know,
a lot of crime.
And is that
the West Side, the South Side? What is that?
That's the South Side. So then if you go west of there, that whole region is called the South Side.
Okay.
If you go directly west of, I don't know if you know, you know, Lincoln Park, right? Lincoln Park.
Yeah.
So if you go about 4 or 5 miles west of there, there's a huge area, again, where basically from big corridor.
We got it.
Western to
Peter,
to
stop,
one of the
stop,
suburbs.
Stop,
yeah.
stop.
Got it.
I got it.
Weird. I feel sometimes I get punished for asking questions. You know what I mean? Like I said, is it the South Side that's still damaged? Yeah, the South Side is still the bad side. And I get the mark.
Is that below the museums kind of? That
I don't know. Don't ask. I don't want to do a whole walking tour of Chicago. Now, Peter.
Yes.
So the big thing was, I don't know, 25 people killed. They set a record or a 25-year record or something like that for most deaths.
Since 61, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Since 61. And now I'm going to open this up to you, Andrew. As I heard that, I thought, well, the cops were preoccupied in other parts of the city and doing other things, and so this flourished. You had your spike. You had your biggest day of violence and shootings. And then I thought, everyone's talking about pulling back the police force and defunding. I said, I think we just did a little experiment, didn't we?
Yeah.
Wasn't that a little one weekend experiment? What would this be like if cops cleared out? Yeah. Now, I know the answer is like, well, we're going to do community-based. Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Peter.
Oh, no, I'm just so, you know, I've spoken to some of the cops because the irony is that she allowed all these tens of thousands of people to protest and told his cops not to disperse them. But then she still has all of our parks and playgrounds and the lakefront path all closed. And cops are guarding that, too, to not let people in there.
That's because you're going to transmit COVID.
He knows. The lakefront is still closed down?
Closed. Still closed. She still has not provided any rationale either, besides like she can't trust us like children. And literally, I mean, I'm talking dozens of cops, you know, every, call it, I don't know, eight blocks or so. Lakefront goes the entire length of the city. So
you want more government?
Peter can't stop talking when he doesn't appear to hear when other people talk. But I like you, Peter. I'm glad you called in. Yestra.
Do we want more government? Is this what we want? This Lori Lightfoot's taking care of everything for us and Garcetti babysitting us. Is this what we want?
I don't want it. I've always used it in terms of building and safety, just more regulation, more, makes harder and harder and harder to do what you want to do.
But we've gone all the way. Now you got to stay home. I'm locking you in your house. I'm locking you in your room. Shelter in place. Barricade yourself. I order you.
I don't. We have our Lori's going to. We have my clip.
Yeah, I've got the two there, and then I can play you the audio that Peter was referencing.
I'll hear all of them. First, she's got answers for how to stop the crime in Chicago.
If we rely upon law enforcement only, we're going to fail, and that's what's happened in way too many places across the country. Last year, we stood up and brought an all-hands-on-deck approach to public safety, where we've got our schools involved, our parks, our libraries, our social services organizations. That's how we build healthy, vibrant, and safe communities, not just relying upon the police. And we're going to continue to push forward on that front in Chicago.
All right. So my thing you did that last year. Yeah, you got the libraries mobilized. How about the bookmobile? Is that on patrol? Okay. So what do we got? What are we talking about? Let's look at some numbers now. You just said what you did. Now let's figure out how that worked. Because it's not just about cops, it's about them mobilizing the library and the parks. I'd work some parents in there as well. Then she's got a take on racism, so we'll play that one.
Up some, I think, very compelling words. He said that we've been fighting COVID-19 pandemic, but we've, for the entirety of our history in this country, been fighting COVID-16-19. And he's absolutely right about that. We have to reckon with racism. We have to deal with how it has been embedded into too many systems and institutions. And until we do that, we're going to see this anger and frustration that's been boiling over in Chicago and all across the country. We have an opportunity to really take advantage of this moment and reckon with our past and our present and make sure that racism doesn't continue to be a part of our future. We can do that, but we've got to face the hard truths and not shy away from the challenges that we face as a nation around this original sin.
Remember I was talking about the process, people?
Yeah.
It's just like we got to take a hard look at the past.
Yeah.
Got to take a hard look at the present.
Got dialogue.
Got to take a hard look at the future. And we got to start a dialogue. All right. My work is done as a leader.
Okay. I wish you would say what you wanted to do. What's the plan?
We have to take a hard look. Yeah. And we have to, it's a reckoning. It's a reckoning with a hard look, a glance, more than a glance, a staring. Not a reckoning, it's a staring. We need to stare at our past and our future.
I reckon I'll stare.
Who makes less sense, her or Garcetti when they talk?
Garcetti makes less sense.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, now tell me how. With him, I'm like, oh my God, will you shut up?
I never stop marveling at the black lesbian who's explaining that we have a system that won't let black people achieve anything within the system. It's like, but you are running the city. Some ostensibly got voted in by people, so some can't be that broken, right? How'd you become the mayor? It's a sort of Oprah explaining how the black woman is kept down kind of speech. Like, which house are you in, Oprah? Are you in the Maui house? Are you in the one that's in Santa Barbara? Which multi-million dollar state are you explaining this theory to us from? Who's she talking to?
So she's talking to an alderman, and this is leaked audio from what presumably was a closed call between members of government.
It's like a city councilman, right, or something like that?
Is that what an alderman is, a city councilman?
I believe an alderman is somebody who's responsible for a specific ward in a city. Yeah, it's like that. But I'll warn you that it's a little long with the alderman asking his question before they get into it, but it's worth playing. So,
all right. Now, if a district selectman and an alderman were in the same room, who would have pull rank over the other? All right.
I'll investigate while we're playing.
Listen, when you go to Louisiana, they have like parishes and things. It's all weird nomenclature.
All right, let's play it.
We can't expect our police, and I don't fault them at all, to be able to control this. But I know that we asked our faith base yesterday to stand at the front line between police and looters and rioters. And I am simply not comfortable telling my churches, those people, to be the intermediary in the middle of a riot that's citywide. We need something better, because right now we only have 370 whatever National Guards on standby. Half our neighborhoods are already obliterated. It's too late. We have to come up with a better plan, because once they're done looting and rioting and whatever's going to happen tonight, God help us, what happens when they start going after residents, going into the neighborhoods? Once they start trying to break down people's doors so they think they got something, or, you know, we know that people are here to antagonize and incite, and you've got them all pumped tonight, today, they're not going to go to bed at 8 o'clock. They're going to turn their focus in the neighborhood. I've got gangbangers with AK-47s walking around right now, just waiting to settle some scores. What are we going to do, and what do we tell our residents other than good faith people stand up? It's not going to be enough.
Thank you, Alderman. Next question.
Well, no, I want an answer. You commented on everybody. I want an answer. It's not something you ignore. This is a question that I have.
I think you're 100% full of shit, is what I think. If you think
No offense, well, fuck you then.
Hold on.
Who are you to tell me I'm full of shit?
And if you think we were not ready and we stood by and let the neighborhood go up, there's nothing intelligent that I can say to you.
Well, maybe you should come out and see what's going on.
The stupidest thing I have ever heard. I understand you want Supreme. I understand that you think that you...
Mayor, you need to check your fucking attitude. That's what you need to do. Right now? No. You need to check your attitude.
All right. Well, they're in charge, everybody. I don't know. Who'd you rather run your city? Those two or our nutty Barbara Ferrer and the biggest pussy ever pull on some yoga pants? Or maybe he's graduated to capri pants now. Garcetti, who seems, I don't know, I kind of like our guys now.
No. Well, you're right. I feel a little softened to ours. But wish we had some LifeLock to protect ourselves from our government.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, April 15th is the tax deadline. It's pushed to July 15th. But that just gives it more time for hackers to mine our data and then to sell it.
You got to understand how cybercrime, identity theft are affecting our lives. As Adam always reminds us, they're lazy. They're going to use the computer to do it from home. And we love the internet, so we've got to, you know, find ways to protect ourselves with this new technology. And every day we put our information at risk on the internet. Cyber criminals find new ways to steal those identities, our identities. You could miss threats by just monitoring your credit. LifeLock, a leader in identity theft protection, detects a wide range of identity threats, like, say, your social security number for sale on the dark web. Should you become a victim of identity theft, LifeLock can help you restore your identity easier than you could possibly do on your own. Right, Matt?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code ADAM. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code ADAM for 25% off.
All right, my new book, Your Emotional Support Animal, is a truth flamethrower, and it is out as we speak, so go get that and listen to the audio as well, because audio is different than the written book, so you got to get them both, man. What can I tell you? All right, I'm going to be at the Tempe Improv July 3rd and 4th doing stand-up. I'm doing stand-up all over the place. I'm going to Minneapolis at the Acme Comedy Theater coming up July 17th, 18th. Just go to adamcarolla.com for all that, and then check out our YouTube page as well, because we're putting a lot of our stand-up up there as well. Drew.
DrDrew.com. It's all there, all the pods and streams. Check it out, please.
Till next time, Adam Carolla, Dr. Drew, say mahalo.